Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Brothers MC Podcast. We are back after a long break, getting back to Sixers basketball now. Thank you for joining us. It's Mark McClure, and alongside me is my brother and co-host, Matthew McClure.
Yeah, first time doing this with a mic in front of us. We're excited. Sixers, Jimmy Butler, it's been a while since we talked Sixers, but we're back now, and hopefully this team can get on a bit of a winning streak and be competitors and contend in the Eastern Conference and maybe, you know, get to the finals if everything goes right. If they make a few moves, we'll have to see. But I love the Jimmy Butler trade, and let's get into it.
And that's where we start with the Jimmy Butler trade. Before we cut this off, we had still Robert Covington and Darius Arch still part of the Sixers. They were traded to Minnesota for Jimmy Butler, who had trouble in Minnesota. A lot of rumors around him. They wanted to get him out of the lineup. And it's good to add another star. That's what I thought about this trade. I thought Robert Covington was really struggling. If you remember us on this show, we gave him a lot of heat for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, he has played well in Minnesota, and I wish him all the best there. And it was probably good for him to get new scenery because a lot of people were starting to want him out of the lineup and want him benched. Dario didn't really want to get rid of him, but sometimes you have to give up pieces to get a star. I do like Dario Saric, and I wish him all the best in Minnesota. But coming in, Jimmy Butler's been the guy. And, you know, this is something I've talked about before on this show. The Sixers didn't have the guy they could give the ball to with 23 seconds left and say, win the game. That was just never something that the Sixers have, and Jimmy Butler gives them that, and he's already hit two game winners this year, and they've literally just said, take the ball, it's your game, and he's called game twice and made it. So I love the trade overall, and I'm really happy to have Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia. He fits the mentality of the city.
Absolutely, and the great thing about it is what you mentioned, Mark. This guy can take over basketball games, and we've seen it with the Sixers thus far. Charlotte, what happens? Gets the ball on the wing. The play before that makes a great defensive play, goes down the other end, buries a three ball game. Goes to Brooklyn, same intensity from him, and he hits a big-time shot at the end of the game from the wing for three. We didn't need the three, but he did it anyway. And the thing about it is the Sixers would go to Joel Embiid for those shots, right? They'd go to Joel Embiid from the perimeter instead of getting his butt on the block and trying to make a move. Now you got a guy who can take somebody off the dribble and shoot. And that's why the trade is so great, because it brings a new dynamic to this team. We always were saying, who's going to be that before Butler was there? Who's going to be that third guy the Sixers have? It's usually J.J. Redick doing the scoring. But now Butler's in there, and J.J. can be that complimentary guy. So this trade, I think, for the Sixers was great. And you said it about Cub and Sarge. Those guys were the best. We loved them here in Philly. Great role players. Came up big-time games. Played big, key quality minutes, I'd say. And, you know, now they're in Minnesota doing their thing. I think it was a trade both teams needed to make. The Sixers needed a star. The Minnesota Timberwolves needed to get some role players to help Carl Anthony Towns out. And obviously Butler didn't like the scenery in Minnesota, the guys he was playing with Wiggins and those other guys on the Timberwolves. So I think it was a trade that needed to be made by both of these teams.
And for totals for Jimmy Butler, he's played 14 games since he's been here. He missed last two games. He came back for the game last night in Cleveland, but he played 14 games. He was averaging just under 20 at 19.7. He has been really, really good for the Sixers this year. It looks, sounds like, from what he says, he likes the city, he enjoys the guys that he's playing with, wearing matching headbands with Ben Simmons. And, just it's a good trade for both sides. And I do hope Robert Covington and Dario Saric find their feet in Minnesota because they were homegrown guys, and that's the kind of guys we like in this city.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler, I know we've talked a lot of him about here early in this segment, but this guy was somebody we needed, and that's the biggest thing. I like what Elton Brand did here, but the mentality now needs to be let's get more pieces around in this bench because as of late, the bench hasn't been having a lot of production. They made the right move with Jimmy Butler. Let's see if they can get more pieces around Simmons and Beat and Butler to get this thing going.
Yeah, the epitome of what you talked about with the bench was the game against the Pacers that they lost at home 113-101. And Beat had 40 in a huge game, 40 and 21. Simmons had 18, JJ had 22, and those were the only guys in double figures in that particular game. You just can't have that at this level because Joel Embiid's putting everything on that floor as much as possible, and he gets no support from guys that we need in big games, in the big games. Because, yeah, TJ puts up some numbers, and so does Landry, and Muscala's had some good games, but in the games against the Raptors and the Pacers and the Celtics, we need better bench production out of these guys. Yeah, Furkan had two double-digit games last week, but then in that Indiana game, he puts up six. This has been a problem for the Sixers for a long time, and I think Elton Brand needs to look at some options to fill that 15th roster slot as a bench productive bench scorer.
Yeah, this game for the Sixers against the Pacers, it went well there for the first half. They got off to a 10-point lead. You didn't have Butler in this game. I think twice in this game in the first half, you had two 10-point leads. You were up, I think, 12 or 10 at the half. And then you just couldn't get it done in the second half. It's really that simple. Guys missing shots. Mike Muscala, we need more. You're either dope from three or you can't make a shot to save your life. That's Mike Muscala, I'd say. Wouldn't you say that, Mark?
Yeah, it's agreeable.
And you got, Furkan, you mentioned he had two double-digit games before that. He comes out, doesn't really produce that much. I saw him, he fakes a three-pointer, drives the lane, puts up an air ball. We can't have that if you're a Sixer fan. You got to be more productive on the bench. And Embiid, I think he goes a little bit too hard there in the first half. He had a huge stat line, but most of his points and rebounds came in that first half. So the Sixers, with him, they just can't really you got to limit his minutes sometimes. I like him playing a lot, but you got to make sure he's fresh and ready in certain parts of the game. And in the second half, he just seems like he's absolutely gassed, and that's why his numbers dip in the second half.
Yeah, it was a really tough loss because it looked like the Sixers had control of that game. They were holding Oladipo in check a little bit. And then after that, in that fourth quarter, I think he had five straight buckets that he made. Thaddeus Young killed us double-double at 26 and 10. And, it was just a bad game overall for the Sixers. These are the types of games you need to win if you want to stake a claim in the high part of that Eastern Conference. It's difficult up there. This game dropped them to fifth in the Eastern Conference. They did rebound back up to fourth after they beat the Cavs, but it's concerning with all the losses that are piling up against the top four teams in the East.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the Sixers, they're a top five team in the Eastern Conference, and if you can't beat the four other teams in the East, then if you want to be a competitor, you got to do that. You've got to be able to beat these teams in the Eastern Conference in the top five: Celtics, Pacers, Raptors, Bucks. These are the kind of teams you have to beat to get some respect from everybody saying, hey, this is the Sixers are coming. We don't care about, you know, the Celtics making the Eastern Conference Finals last year without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. You know, you got to beat these types of teams. And you mentioned Thaddeus Young in the Pacers game. He can't have 26 points. Are you kidding me right now? He was just out physically. Like, he was just being more physical than everybody on the Sixers except for Embiid, getting his team second chance points. Other guys stepping up, you know, for the Pacers in this game. Bogdanovich had a big game with 18. Sabonis with 14 and 16 boards. These, you got out hustled by the Pacers in this game, and it was a struggle to watch. I know Butler wasn't there. Other guys need to step up. And another guy we didn't mention who had a goose egg on the score stat sheet was Wilson Chandler. What have you been doing? Absolutely nothing. We need more production from you.
And then we bring up about the teams at the top part of the East. Against the top six teams in the East, besides the Sixers, which are the Raptors, Bucks, Pacers, Celtics, and Pistons, the Sixers are 3-6. And that's just not – you can't have that. And they've been struggling. They have two. The good news is they have two games coming up in the next 10 days. They play the Raptors on the 22nd at home, and they play the Celtics on Christmas. And so those are games where we need to see not a double-digit loss, because they are picking up all these double-digit losses against the top of the East, and it's really killing everyone's expectations for the team, because they think that we can't beat these guys in the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to beat the Raptors. They play the Raptors. They play the Spurs tonight, and then they play the Raptors and the Celtics on Christmas. You got to beat the Spurs tonight and split with the Raptors and Celtics, I think, because the chances of winning both those games are slim. One on the road in Boston on Christmas. You don't think they're going to be ready for that? That's when, or you don't think the Celtics will be ready for that game? They're going to be ready to rock and roll, and they're going to want to beat the hell out of the Sixers. So you got to split with the Raptors and Celtics in these two games coming up after the Spurs. You got to beat the Spurs tonight, though, to kind of get on a winning streak. You beat the Cavs easily. Yet last night, you got the Spurs, and you got to split with these next two teams.
Man, I'm talking – we are serious about what we're looking at with this team. There are absolutely no guarantees for the rest of this month. If you look at the end of this month, schedule for the Sixers, Spurs on the road, I know they've struggled a little bit, but they're back to 500. The Knicks, they should win. I give them that one. But after that, we got to go Raptors at home, Celtics on the road, Jazz on the road, Trailblazers on the road, and Clippers on the road. When we go on that after Christmas West Coast road trip,
yep,
they have got to at least get out of their 500 with the Jazz, Blazers, Clippers, and Suns.
Yeah, that West road trip is going to tell you a lot about this Sixers team, I feel like. Right now, you're 20-11. You look pretty good in spots. You look great at home, not so great on the road. And you got a West Coast road trip, and you got teams like the Utah Jazz and Donovan Mitchell. You mentioned Portland, and I think L.A. is going to be a tough test as well. So you're going to have to be able to win some of these games and get some separation, because the top five teams in this conference are pretty close together, and whoever gets on that little spurt of winning is going to have a big-time, you know, advantage in the second half of the season.
And I just cannot emphasize how important it is, this set of games, because you're talking about all playoff teams are real close to playoff teams. The Spurs are 500. Even that Mavs game after that Suns game on the road, the Mavericks are a tough team to beat, even though you're playing them at home. And so it's just a tough group of games, and they have got to be ready for them, because we cannot fall. We can't go out of there with one or two wins. This team has got to maintain the momentum that they have right now and just keep it going. They did reasonably well with this road trip last year, but it happens every year this time of year, right after Christmas. And so they have got to be ready for this road trip.
Yeah, and we saw moments of greatness in this road trip and moments where it didn't look good. Remember the Portland game? They were up big in that game last year and absolutely collapsed in the fourth quarter. You got to get up to big leads, I think, and try to be able to hold them and try to escape with victories on the road, because this road trip is going to tell you a lot about who this Sixers team is.
And now it's time for our favorite segment on Brothers NC Podcast. How badly is Markelle Fultz hurt? Because we love talking about this because it comes up in the Sixers news feed way too often. Markelle Fultz diagnosed with another injury, another shoulder injury, nerve damage or whatever it is. He has been missing a lot of games recently. He is seeing a specialist about it, and there's not much more that we can say. And the actual name of the injury, he's got neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome, and he's been missing time. At the end of the day, I think it's better for both parties if this guy gets a fresh start, because his mind is just not in it. Because all the Sixers fans and Sixers faithful, even me and Matthew, I believe, have really just given up on this guy. And at this point, we have seen enough spark from the other guys that are there. TJ always puts in a tough effort, whether he scores or not in the stat sheet. He's a tough defender. And then Furkan's turning it around. I know he said he had six last time he played, but he's been good. He shows he can shoot that three a little bit. And he's definitely aggressive and confident. And Markelle Fultz just isn't. He showed some flashes beginning of the season that he was athletic. He had some nice dunks. But, you know, he's shooting under 50% from the floor, under 30% from three, when in college he shot over 40%. He seems like he's on Twitter every week for some weird form. It's really, really bad. And so I think it's probably best if both teams move on. But I'm not sure if the front office will go for it, because they're looking for a high-end draft pick that I'm certain they won't get for him.
Well, that's the thing. They want to get rid of him, but no one wants this guy. Who wants him? And who's going to give up a big-time player for him? You're not getting Markelle Fultz, a second-rounder, you know, if you would trade for, you know, somebody on the Wizards, like a Bradley Beal. Like, they don't want Markelle Fultz at all. This is just an absolute circus with this guy. He shows flashes, I'll give you that. He understands the game. He worked all offseason on his shot. Apparently, the guy that was working on his shot in Fultz's camp got in a little bit of an argument because he isn't producing. Now this injury comes out. It's just an absolute joke. And the city of Philadelphia wants to give this guy chances, but I think their patience is running low with this guy. And I think you got to just get rid of him. Trade him to Phoenix. Trade him to Orlando. Get a role player that could possibly help you out. I don't really care who it is, as long as he's not an absolute scrub. Get somebody for Markelle Fultz, because this has gone long enough, in my opinion.
And for Fultz, we've seen everything in the trade rumors. We've seen Caldwell, Pope, you know, he's okay. Role player, he's averaging 8-3 on the last year of his contract. I've seen that. Ones I don't like are Vince Carter. He's 42 years old. I don't want that on this team.
See, I don't like that one at all.
The one I liked the most is a swap of busts with the Suns for Josh Jackson.
That could be okay, because you get change of scenery for both guys. A guy in Markelle, you know, first overall pick, going to Phoenix, that young team, they got a good development staff over there. And you got somebody like Josh Jackson, who I think was on the Sixers draft board when he got drafted a few years ago. So I think that could be an okay deal, because they're both still young players looking to develop. Although Josh Jackson has had his ups and mostly downs, I'd say. I think maybe a change of scenery for both of those guys could help out.
And I think it would really help the Sixers, especially because they're overloaded at that guard spot,
yep.
but they're thin at that four. And so that gives them another option
yep.
besides Muscala to play that four spot.
Yeah, and Markelle Fultz for the Josh Jackson would be an ideal move, I think, just because they're both young players and they both need to get out of their situation that they're in. And I think also a problem for this Markelle Fultz thing is I feel like front office, they're torn about it. They don't know what to do. Some are saying, we got to get rid of this guy. Some are saying, let's keep him. You know, we drafted this guy the first overall pick for a reason. So that's where the Markelle Fultz saga continues. And hopefully it ends soon because I'm really tired of it.
No, but I'm concerned about them holding on to him for too long because they did that with Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
When they could have cashed out on him after his first injury because he was good when he was a rookie. And when he came back, he struggled a lot. And so, and what we get for him, Reggie Evans. No, I'm sorry. Booker.
Yeah,
we got
Trevor Booker.
Trevor Booker.
But he was good.
If we cut him before the end of the year, that's what we got for a third overall draft pick. That was one full year of awful basketball for Trevor Booker.
Okay, yeah.
So it was really, really – I'm concerned about that happening again.
Yeah.
I understand that that's probably the level of talent we're going to get for him.
And Trevor Booker, when we traded for Jahlil Okafor, was a good guy, role veteran off the bench. But we traded him to the Pacers, I think, in the – after the All-Star break with Ersan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the bench last year was just a little bit more in depth. But, you know, Markelle Fultz needs to get out of here, I think, as soon as possible because he's just going to, you know, continue to decline. He needs a new chance somewhere else. And I think at the trade deadline, it'll be interesting to see if the Sixers get rid of him to a younger team like the Suns, the Atlanta Hawks, maybe. You know, could you see Kent Bazemore come in here? That could be a possibility. Two could be a stretch three. He can shoot. You know, it's just going to be interesting to see what Markelle Fultz, his future is going to be able to look like here in the next, you know, month or two.
And as we continue this open letter, basically, to Elton Brand, we are trying to tell you, I understand you're looking at this, at everything we're talking about, at you're assessing your roster, basically, about who you want in that last spot. Can we please consider it to be a big? Because this team is thin on the front court.
Yeah.
Because we're forcing Chandler to play
before
Muscala's playing center sometimes.
But he doesn't even really play center. He's always at the perimeter.
Yeah, that's why we get caught getting out rebounded on the offensive glass sometimes.
Because if you see when Embiid and Simmons are out and Muscala's out there, there is no one in the paint. No one. It's just like a guy, everybody's around the perimeter ready to shoot, including Muscala, who looks like he can't. So that's the thing. I agree with you. Maybe consider a big man, a bruiser, somebody that like an Aaron Baines, you know, somebody like that who can just like kind of get rebounds, maybe put up some points. It'll be interesting to see what the Sixers do.
Because the problem is they only got one true center, and it's Embiid.
Yeah.
Because at this point, they're really starting to thin Amir Johnson's minutes. He's playing like 4 minutes a game. So he's not getting any
terrible
time.
Terrible signing, by the way. We could have had Rashawn.
And that's still been talked about, too, with the Markelle Fultz. And they think about just trading him to bring back Rashawn Holmes. And so I've seen that, too, which I still wouldn't be opposed to because we need a big bruiser. And that's what you said. That's what we need that can score a little bit. We're literally describing Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, a little
defender,
bit.
Tough. And he finishes and he gets the crowd into it. He's a crowd favorite.
Yeah,
and so
he can slant, you know, slam dunk, you know, get the crowd on her. I'm not saying we don't need 15. You know what I mean? Do we need 15 tonight? No, we need somebody that can bring a different kind of energy off the bench, other than T.J. McConnell.
Exactly.
And Shamet, I like Shamet as well, but
Yeah, but we just don't have a true center in any way or a big man. They keep Jonah Bolden on the bench even when he's up here.
Yeah, why? Why?
And he can't play anyway, from what I'm seeing. He looks like a defender more than an offensively minded big.
Yeah.
And I just want a guy that's physical and tough, and we don't have to give him an interview when he gets 10-10. That's what we do with Amir Johnson. He gets 10-10, he gets interviewed. That's not what we're looking for. I want a guy that can get that reasonably well, because it's just been tough. It's been tough because Chandler is on and off. He put up the deuce in the Indiana game. Then he puts up 11 against the Cavs.
Yeah.
And 11-7, which I'll take any day of the week. If he can get that consistent.
If he can get that consistent, I'd take 8-7, 8-5. What we can't have is zero from Wilson Chandler. And he's got to get going a little bit. He's got to be, step it up for us here. And if he does that, we'll get a little bit more bench scoring, because I like what Shamit's been doing from the 3-point line. He looks like he's going to be a solid role player for this team. He was a first round pick, and we were saying we wanted the guy the Celtics got, that big guy, and it looks like Shamit's going to be okay on this team. So I like what Shamit's doing. I just think if Chandler could get going, maybe Muscala can start hitting a few more shots. He did have 18 in Detroit a few weeks or a week or two ago. If we can get these guys going, watch out.
Next thing on the agenda, we have got to talk about J.J. Redick for a minute here. He has been everything we could ask for and more.
Yeah, really.
He has absolutely dominated every game he's played out there. When everyone's off, he's on.
Yeah.
He's 34. He's having the best year of his career. He's averaging just over 18 points a game. He's hitting shooting over 50%, 35% from three, and he's just been dominant in a lot of games. You don't see him a lot out there, and because he hits that pull-up jumper. He hits all these off-balance threes. He's been there. He's done that. And I'm so thankful that we re-signed J.J. Redick, because he has had a massive, massive impact this year and has saved this team in a lot of moments when everyone's struggling. J.J.'s not.
Yeah, and J.J. Redick, if we didn't have J.J. Redick this year, we'd be in some deep trouble, because you mentioned it, 18 points a game. That's big time from somebody who just really does a good job of coming off screens for pull-up jumpers, somebody like that. J.J. Redick has been huge for this team, because if we didn't have him, I don't know where we'd be. I really don't know. Because he has stepped up in big games, not even just the other, games against the New York Knicks, Hawks, Hornets, the games like the Pacers he stepped up in, and these other big time teams that we played so far. We still got a lot on the schedule. He stepped up, and we're going to need him to continue to hit shots for us to be successful.
Because he is, it seems like almost our primary look on a lot of plays. We like running that role on the screen. They set the screen and a handoff, and he gets the little pull-up jumper that he likes from about 16 feet.
16 to even really 3-point feet.
Yeah, so he has been awesome just watching him play. I'm thankful that the Sixers signed him and got him for what they paid for.
He's 34 years old and still dominating.
Yeah, with this type of play, I hope they re-sign him again. Next year on another 1-2 year deal.
Hey, yeah.
But this, again, a big thumbs up there from the Sixers for signing him, because he has been a revelation this year.
Yeah, he's in the last 10 games, he's shooting 43.2%. He's averaging 18. Obviously, he's not going to get you a lot of assists and rebounds, but I think he's there to score and shoot 3-pointers. And if he can continue to do that, he's going to be a major piece moving forward. And, he's playing 30 minutes a game, so he's playing a lot. And if we could maybe get somebody at the deadline that, could be a possible starter so he could lead the second unit, that could even be an option for him.
And so next, as we just keep going down the roster, giving our thoughts on it, We got to go to Ben Simmons. And I'm not sure where this comes from me or if I'm just seeing it, because he's averaging just under 16, which is obviously very, very good. And 8 rebounds and 8 assists. He's averaging 16, 8, and 8. So, Mark, where can you? Well, how can you possibly complain about this guy? But does he? He just seems passive to me in the fourth quarter. He doesn't seem as aggressive. He's not just getting to the bucket when we really need him to. He's busy throwing the ball out of bounds. You know, he averages over 3 turnovers a game, and I just think that for him, he just needs to get aggressive and get to the bucket because he knows he can finish, but 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you don't call his name very often.
Nope. He tries to be a creator instead of being physical and driving to the hoop and finishing. And we're going to need him to do that in order to, you know, because he can't shoot. He can't shoot at all. He hasn't shown it he can shoot.
His range is 5 feet. Yeah. Anywhere inside 5 feet is where I'll shoot from.
But to his credit, he's been really good this year. I'm looking at his last 5 games here. At Detroit, 18 points in 40 minutes. And he had 6 assists and 13 boards. You know, then they played Detroit again at home. He had another 18, 10, and 7. Then he had 22, 8, and 7 against the Nets. Had a decent game against the Pacers in the loss. He had 18, 9 rebounds and 4 assists. And then he played great in Cleveland last night. 22 points, 14 assists, and 11 rebounds. He shot 80% from the free throw line. He's got to continue to just work on that shot. And if he can just get any kind of jump shot, he could be lethal. It's a shame that he doesn't have – he's just so good. He's just so one-dimensional. He's so good at creating and passing and getting to the rim. But if he could just add another element to his game, this guy would be considered a top 3 player in the world.
And the last real Sixer thing before we go off to the rest of the NBA is stop playing down to the opponents that you play. They've struggled a lot against teams that you wouldn't think they would. They were unbeaten at home until they lost to the worst team in the East at the time, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are 2-11 right now on the road. They should have lost 3 times to the Nets if it wasn't for Jimmy Butler hitting that 3 with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's concerning. It really is concerning that they've struggled against teams like the Nets and have let guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell put up career highs on them. If you've seen what they've let up, D'Angelo Russell had his career high on us, Spencer Dinwiddie had his career high on us, Blake Griffin had his career high on us, and Kemba Walker had his career high on us in one season, and we've only played 32 games.
Yeah, and they were 14-0 at home, or third, whatever it was at home, before they lost to the hideous Cavaliers team. And then they play the Nets, and if we're going to be honest, like you said, they should have lost all 3 of those games. And you make Spencer Dinwiddie look like Steph Curry. He even said that he felt like Steph Curry in the game where he dropped 39 on us. And you mentioned Blake Griffin's 50, Kemba Walker 60. I don't even know how we won that game. You know why we won it? Because we traded for Jimmy Buckets. If we don't have him, we probably lose that game too, because he hits a buzzer beater over Marvin, I think, or somebody.
Yeah, I think it was Marvin. That was Dwayne Bacon.
Yeah, Dwayne.
Over Dwayne Bacon.
It's a you know, fadeaway 3 over Dwayne Bacon to give us the win over in Charlotte. But if we don't have him, Kemba probably not only drops 60, they get the win. So I agree. You gotta beat the teams you're supposed to, and they gotta test like that against the New York Knicks at home, who have beaten the Celtics on the road, you know, previously this year. And, you know, if you don't bring it, you're going to take an L.
And we bring up with all those career highs is the defense for this team. It's concerning a lot. The defense of this team is really concerning. They haven't held a team under 100 points since the Grizzlies on the 2nd of this month.
Yeah.
They're giving up a lot of points. I mean, they're really struggling defensively. Yeah, I mean, Kawhi lit them up when they played the Raptors. And they're just struggling on defense a lot. They're not locking people down like they did last year. Because when we were talking, they held Kemba Walker in check last year. He has lit us up every time we've played him.
Yeah.
And this is, you never saw that last year. The big thing about the Sixers last year is they made you beat them with other guys.
Mm-hmm.
This year they're beating them with the guy.
Remember when we were talking about the Sixers last year and we were saying if you hold the team to under 100 points, you're probably going to win? Remember that? And every game we've done that, we pretty much won. But the defense has been god-awful this year. And guys are just making shots on us. The ball movement's good for the other teams. We're letting way too much second-chance points, second-chance, you know, rebounding. You got to lock up defensively, especially come spring, because if not, you're going to get beat. If you give up 115 points in a game, or you're most likely going to lose. It's just that simple. When we played the Nets, they have just lit it up on us, and you got to lock up defensively or else it's going to be a long year. So the Sixers, and the thing is, they got three really good defenders in Embiid, Butler, and Simmons. But I think when the second unit comes in, that's the problem. I really think that's the problem. And if they can lock up defensively, the Sixers could be an elite team here in the East. But they just are lacking some things that are killing us in the long run.
And we're talking about just this defense. We'll throw some stats at you. The Sixers are 14th in defensive rating this year. And you got to keep in mind, playoff teams, there's only 16 of them. So you're 14th in defensive rating. On opponents' second chance points, they're 13th. This team's not elite defensively. They're not even close.
No.
And so it's tough to see. 18th in opponents' points in the paint. They're like we said, when Embiid's not on the floor, they have that paint's free.
Exactly.
Because Mike Rascal is not an elite defender. He's not defending anybody down there.
No, and yeah, he's not defending anybody. And offensively, you know, he just stands around the perimeter. So defensively, he really doesn't do much either.
And our favorite stat, obviously, the Sixers are 26th in opponents' points per game because off turnovers. Because this team is still young. I give them that a little bit. I don't like that excuse, but they turned the ball over way too much, especially late in games. They did it against the Nets.
Yeah. They got to stop turning the ball over. They got to think that's, you know, your Halloween candy that you don't want your parents to steal. Because if not, you know, this team is just going to give away wins like that. And turnovers have been a problem all year. And even last year, how many times did we say it last year? We're going to say the same thing this year. Pass the ball to your teammates, please. I know you want to be fancy. I know you want to make the nice perfect pass, but sometimes the smart pass will get it done. And, you know, they got to get the turnovers down. They have to, or else you're going to be a middle pack of the team here in the East.
So that is where we'll move the Sixers talk aside for a little bit, and we'll go and talk about the rest of the NBA. When we had left, we had talked about two particular teams that we'll bring up in the Western Conference that were struggling, the Thunder and the Rockets. One team has flipped it completely around. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder. Ton of credit to them. They are now 18-10, third in the West. Paul George is playing playoff P basketball.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been waiting for, and Thunder fans have been waiting for a while. He'd been struggling for a long, long time, and he hit that game winner against the Nets, I believe.
Yeah.
And
he finally hit one. He was like 0 for 14 before taking that shot and finally made it.
And so they're liking what they're seeing. At this point, they're getting the job done, third in the Western Conference.
Yeah, and we were both talking about these teams. Remember when we did the show earlier, last month, they were both, I don't even think, in the playoffs or low seeds. and the Thunder have completely turned it around. And a guy that's been way big for them is Jeremy Grant. He's been huge for them. He's had games where, you know, he's getting you double figures and a few boards. He's been a really good player for them. And Paul George has looked more elite. Russell Westbrook, he's been in and out of the lineup, but when he's in, he's being more of a leader out there, and that's why they're 18-10. And you know what else could be a problem? That, you know, or could have been the problem last year, the Carmelo effect. Because look what, you know, happened to the Rockets earlier in the season. They started off terrible. Now they're trying to flip it around. I think James Harden had like a 50-point triple-double against the Lakers.
Yeah.
So maybe they're going to get it turned around a little bit. And if they do, you know, watch out. But right now they're sitting at 14-14, and they're not even in the playoffs right now. So they've got to pick it up, and they're going to need guys to step up.
And that's what you just got into. The team we were talking about was the Rockets. They were awful at the beginning of the year. They're still not. They're still in a little bit of a funk, to be honest with you, that they're struggling with. James Harden has played good recently, obviously. But you got to bring up Chris Paul's numbers aren't what they have been.
No.
And what he was at least last year. They weren't those big numbers. Yeah, he had a triple-double, but I think it was 11, 10, and 10.
Yeah.
And that's what – I mean, he was putting up 30 last year.
And we were saying if he doesn't get hurt in game, was it six? We're saying the Rockets probably beat the Warriors in game seven, right? I think, at least. I mean, he was that much of a difference maker last year. Now, obviously, I think the fight with Rondo at the beginning of the year maybe got his rhythm off a little bit. But I think it got the whole Rockets team rhythm off a little bit. But I think the Los Angeles Lakers came out of that fight, you know, and now they're playing much better. So, you know, the Houston Rockets, there's still plenty of time. It's not even Christmas. There's haven't even been 30 games played yet. And if they can get it together here after Christmas in the second half of the season, I think they'll be just fine and, you know, could be at that elite level they once were.
Other concerning teams, Ben Simmons, Hader, Donovan Mitchell, and the Jazz are struggling. 13th place, they're 14-16 on the year they did trade for Kyle Korver earlier this month, but that has not stopped the slip that they've been on. They've struggled a little bit trying to get themselves on the right track. Donovan Mitchell's playing, but he's still shooting an abysmal percentage from the field. And, I mean, they're losing a lot of these games against their Western Conference opponents, against the Thunder, against the Spurs. They lost to the Magic. I mean, those are games you can't lose.
Yeah, and they lost to the Magic when, you know, and I think that game is in Mexico City, but they got to start playing better. And this was a team that I think was, what, the 4 or 5 seed last year? Whatever it was, they were a middle-of-the-pack Western Conference team.
Yeah, they beat the Blazers.
They beat
Thunder.
They beat the Thunder in the first round. And this team looked very good and high expectations into this year. And you started this year with a 14-16 record, you know, 13th in the West. And they got to step it up or else they, you know, might not even make the playoffs. And I think another factor of that could be when Donovan Mitchell went down at the end of last year in the playoffs against the Rockets, maybe he's not fully 100%.
And don't flip out about what we're saying with the rankings here, because you got to keep in mind the 14th team in the Western Conference is Minnesota Timberwolves, and the 8th best team is the Portland Trail Blazers. They're separated by 3 games. So, literally, everybody in the Western Conference is still in the playoff hunt except for the Suns. So, because the Suns are 6-24, they're done.
They're done.
So, but every other team from 1 to 14 is in this race right now as of 30 games-ish played in the league so far. So, everyone's still in it. But the other team that we got to bring up that's playing good basketball, Sacramento.
Yeah.
Marvin Bagley, De'Aaron Fox.
How about
good group of guys. They almost beat the Warriors. They should have beaten the Warriors.
Yeah,
to be honest, they were up 8 points with 3.5 to play.
Yeah, they should have beaten the Warriors.
And they blew it. But they're beating some tough teams. They beat the Mavs. They're defending their home floor. That's another thing that I got to bring up. They're playing good basketball. And, yeah, I'm excited to see the Suns, the way the Kings, the way they're coming up. because, I mean, they're seventh in the West right now.
Yeah, and they play really good basketball. And the guy that I think's really that came out of nowhere, or at least two guys that came out of nowhere for this Sacramento Kings team, is Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein. I remember when Willie Cauley-Stein came out, he was garbage. And he just was nothing. He didn't do anything offensively. He was 7 feet tall. He was, you know, just not a big-time player. And they also have a good bench as well that's helping. And Buddy Hield, Fox, Stein, and the rest of the crew for the Sacramento Kings have been really good this year.
And you bring up the bench, and the biggest, the most gut-wrenching part of the bench that is having a good year is Nemanja Bjelica, who the Sixers signed but didn't want to leave, and now he's averaging over 10 points a game this year. And it's tough to see because the Sixers, we see them struggling with bench production, and you have Nemanja Bjelica having a great year with Sacramento after he committed to the Sixers, decommitted, went overseas, and then decommitted from overseas and came back and fought with the Kings.
Yeah, he's averaging 11.5, and that, as a Sixers fan who we once had, we're kind of kicking ourselves a little bit because he's having a good year. But back on, you know, this Kings team, Buddy Hield, 19.2 points a game. Fox, 18.5. Bogdan Bogdanovich, who comes off the bench, 15.2. Cauley-Stein, 14.2. And 8.5 rebounds a game.
When he came out of college, no one thought he was scoring 14.5 a night. He was defense, and that was it.
Marvin Bagley, who's a baby in this league, 12.7 points a game. Amon Shumpert coming off the bench, 9.2 points a game. Justin Jackson, who's still pretty young, he's only averaging 6.7, but, you know, he's getting production. These guys are deep, I think. And they're just in the Western Conference, so they're playing tough teams. But I like this Sacramento Kings.
They're deep, and they're still young because they're still – I know because the guy that you look at that's struggling, Ben McLemore, but he still struggled with injuries, and he's still young. Again, he's still young, and he was a high draft pick for the Kings. They hope that he still has a chance to turn it out. But then this is a young, talented team. They will be in the playoff mix the next couple of years this year in particular because Willie Cauley-Stein is the one that you're talking about because – when he came in the league, he was all defense and rebounding, that's it, and no one ever thought he'd average 14 a night.
He's the biggest surprise, I think, on the Sacramento Kings team, Willie Cauley-Stein is, because he's giving you 28 minutes a night, and they're good 28 minutes. 14.2, I know we said it, in 8.5 rebounds a game from Willie Cauley-Stein is big time for them. And Buddy Hield, obviously, you know, had a struggled last year, and now – emerging for the Kings with over 19 points a game. So the Kings looking for a bright future here. And if they can continue this high-level play here in the next few months, we could see them in the spring for the first time in a little bit.
And the team we talked about the team at the beginning of the year.
Yes, I know who it is.
And I'm not sure if anybody thought they'd still be this good. When we were at this point of the season, the Denver Nuggets are the best team in the Western Conference right now. They're half a game ahead of the Warriors right now. And this team is just so talented with guys that are just underdogs. They're tough, grinding players. Nikola Jokic has been really good because we made fun of this deal when they signed it.
With
Nikola Jokic, we're like, what are they paying this guy this kind of money for?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's come up big time. Juan Hernan Gomez has had a good year, and Jamal Murray had a good year. And this team still is
without Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter, who's still hurt, and Will Barton.
Yeah,
they're still missing those two guys. Yeah. And Barton had a great year last year.
Yeah.
This team's got a chance to be good.
Yeah.
This year. I don't want to throw out any championship predictions, but
no.
This team is good and can beat anybody on any day of the week.
No.
I'm telling you that right now.
And when you got 8 or 9 guys who are averaging about over 10 points, you got Jokic, you got Murray, Gary Harris has been a big-time player for them. Paul Millsap, obviously.
I'm telling you, you go through this lineup, it's a bunch of grindy underdog players. No one expects anything
and
out of them.
They're physical.
You got to keep in mind, guys like Millsap, he was real good in Atlanta and wherever he's playing.
Yeah, and they just signed Nick Young, too, so that'll be funny. You know, see if he can bring a little spark plug. You know, maybe get you a few threes or here and there. But this Denver team is, I think, pretty legit. I really think that I'm not going to say they're going to make the Western Conference Finals or anything yet. But, hey, if you can get a three seed maybe a two the way they're playing, I'm not saying that's a given either. But if they can get a high seed and get a first-round playoff series at home, you know, that could maybe go six games.
And you got to keep in mind they've been there and done that with just about every team in the league.
Yeah.
They beat the Warriors. They beat them full strength, too.
Yes, yeah.
And they beat the Thunder. They've beaten everybody in that conference. And I mean, they dusted the Lakers, too. And so, you know, this team is serious. And they beat the Raptors. And so, you know, this team has been there and proven to everybody they can beat anybody. They only played 29 games.
Yeah, they've beaten some really solid teams. And that's the thing, but are they going to be able to do it?
They've done the double, actually, over the Raptors. They've beaten them twice, two of their losses.
Here's the thing with the Denver Nuggets. Will they continue to do that throughout the year? Because right now, they're nice. I'll give it to them. They're playing great. They're physical on defense. They saw what they were getting into it at the end of that Thunder game that Jamal Murray got into it with Russell Westbrook last Friday in that game. So this Denver Nuggets team, man, if they can get some key production from other guys like they have so far and it can continue that success to, you know, after the new year, this team could be a top three team in the West.
And last thing on them real quick, that building, not an easy place to play. Denver's got some really
good
fans, passionate fans.
Yeah,
and they
get loud in there.
That is a tough, tough building to play in.
Yep.
Take a look at the best team in the league, because it's not the Warriors. It's not the Raptors. It's not the Rockets.
Oh, okay.
The Toronto Raptors have been dominant. It's as simple as that.
Yep.
Been awesome in their own building. And Kawhi Leonard has said to everybody,
well,
I don't care if I was hurt last year, or you count me out. Don't count me out. I'm dominating. I'm still dominant.
I think he, when healthy, is the second best player in the game. And that's no knock against, you know, Kevin Durant or anything. I just think, all right, if we're going to go better scorer, I'll go Kevin Durant, okay, can pull up from anywhere on the court. He's 7 feet, can dribble like a point guard. I get all that. But I think when Kawhi Leonard is healthy, he's just a better all-around basketball player. I think he's a better defender. I'm not going to go a better offensive player, but it's close. And that's why I think that why I'm putting him above Kevin Durant is because of his defense. This guy can lock up. He can lock up. You saw what he did to Ben Simmons. I think, remember when Ben Simmons had like 11 turnovers in Toronto the first time we played him? This guy was locking him up. I'm not saying, you know, Kevin Durant's not a bad player. I just think Kawhi Leonard, when healthy, is the second best player. And this Raptors team is, I think you got to take them seriously because new coach, you got Kawhi, who's a champion. Serge Ibaka, who's got a lot of playoff experience. So they got experience on this team. Like, let's get it together now. But I think the key for them now is Kyle Lowry's production, you know, in the playoffs for them when they get there is going to be key. He's going to have to step up big time for them. And if he does, watch out. But I think you got to take this Raptors team seriously.
You have to when you watch them play, because there's still that playoff stigma around the Raptors. They don't perform in the playoffs. They never show up. They've been the one seed before, and they've gotten wiped out like they did last year against the Cavs. But you got to keep the LeBron James and the East this year. So they're really the big team that's in their way. Sixers and Celtics. So
yeah, Sixers and Celtics, and you could probably throw the
Bucks
in there.
There.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
those are the teams they got to worry about. And like you said, new star, new coach. So this isn't the same DeRozan Lowry team that can't play in the playoffs.
That's the thing, though. Kawhi Leonard is way better than DeMar DeRozan. Again,
because he's one way. You're talking about DeMar DeRozan. He's one way. He's an attacker. He's not terrible on defense, but he's not Kawhi Leonard on defense.
I think Kawhi Leonard steps up in big games. And I'm not saying that DeMar DeRozan doesn't, but I think Kawhi Leonard does it more. And that's why, hey, this guy's a champion. He won a championship in San Antonio. So, you know, he's got some playoff experience. It's the same with all these guys. Pascal Siakam's looked great for them as well. So, and Fred VanVleet, these guys are good players for the Toronto Raptors. And I think they're like 7-1 or something like that when Kawhi doesn't play. So, this Raptors team, you got to take them seriously. You have to, because they got too much talent, and you added, you know, a top three player in the game to your team, you know, for DeMar DeRozan.
But there are some teams that we're not taking seriously. At least I'm not taking seriously. And one of them's Washington Wizards, because John Wall is all over the place.
He looked great the other night.
Yeah, he had a great night. But we're talking about the same month when he put up two. So, yeah, he had 40 against the Lakers. We got.
Yeah.
I understand he had a really, really, really good ball game. But this guy's supposed to be the best player on your team, and you know that you don't put up two.
No.
When you're the best player on the team, and like that, they've turned it around a little bit. They're still 11-16, but and they just got Ariza. But
that could help them. But.
But to be in a nice way, I like John Wall. I do. I think he's really, really good physical guard. I still think he can't shoot the ball particularly well from three. But John Wall needs to be the big guy. He needs to have those big games, and those games where he's putting up two and struggling a lot. He's done it a lot this year, and he hasn't done that in the past. And it presses all the questions that people bring up. Do they need to get rid of John Wall?
What they need to do is get rid of Scott Brooks. Are you kidding me with this talent on this team? Wall, Beal, Porter, you added Ariza. This team is way too talented on paper, at least, to be 12-18. Way too talented. And you got to fire Scott Brooks. And this Wizards team has been a joke. It's that simple. Here's who they lost to in this stretch here.
No, it's because you're right. You come back and they say, they just barely lost to the Celtics, and they beat the Wizards in Wad 40. But you come and you play the Cavaliers, and he has 1 point, and you lose the Cavs.
Yeah.
But you can go and you can play tough against the Celtics and beat the Lakers.
Well, I think Bradley Beal's the real deal.
He's the real deal. He's the serious.
Yeah, he's playing at an elite level. And – you know, to go back on the Wall point, he's just got to be better. You have to be better. In 26 minutes of play, you get 1 point. You are the face of that franchise. They gave him a mega deal. They gave all three of those guys mega deals. They gave Beal a mega deal. They gave Porter a big deal, right? And they gave John Wall. Those three guys had huge contracts for the Wizards, and they are 12-18. Are you kidding me? And something's got to change in Washington, D.C.
And it needs to start, like you said, on the coach's bench. They need to just give her a Scott Brooks, man. Please.
Just anybody.
And get a big man immediately.
Well, Dwight Howard got hurt.
Yeah, I understand that, but – what is
but
his
he
name?
Wasn't going to be big.
Thomas Bryant is not cutting it. Just they played the Wizards. When the Sixers played the Wizards, he got baptized by Joel Embiid in that game.
Is he even on the team?
Who? Thomas Bryant.
There he is. Okay.
He needs to. He's not big time.
Well, he's a starter, too.
Yeah, I mean, he was the backup, but he forced him into action, but they got to seriously consider getting a big
well,
now.
They don't have Oubre anymore. You know, they're hoping Ariza can help this team
on defense because where they've been really bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can't give up 116 to the Cavs.
I mean, we give 123, but, you know, still, that's unacceptable. This team's the worst offensive team in the league.
And they shouldn't be. With those three guys, you got Morris coming off your bench, Jeff Green, and Oubre, who used to, but, oh, man, this Wizards team is really frustrating.
It's just brutal because you look at the talent they have, and for them to be behind the Nets, who have Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell, who are very fine young players.
Well, they lost Caris LeVert, who was their leading
scorer.
Yeah,
and you're behind them because you have three at this point. They're entering their prime.
Yeah,
those three guys.
It's I don't know if it's a lack of motivation. You don't like the coach. You don't feel like playing. This is the NBA, man. You got to start playing. You got three of the top what? You got definitely two of the top 25 players in the game. Probably, you know, would you say John Wall's a top 20 player in the
game?
Yeah,
I mean, he should be. With
and
the,
Bradley
I mean,
Beal.
If he's got 40 points in him, then yeah, he should have.
Yeah, so I'm not counting them out by any means. But I'm disappointed with what I've seen so far from the Washington Wizards.
They're in the playoffs. They are, as we move to our next point. We're talking about the Charlotte Hornets, they're sitting at seventh place. And I'll give you one reason why. Kemba Walker. Because he had a bad weekend.
Yeah.
We'll give him that. He had a rough weekend this weekend. But he's got it in him. 60 against the Sixers. We already talked about this guy can play. And he's on a contract year, so that's doubling his motivation to get this. He's having 25 a night.
Michael Jordan needs to re-sign him if they want to be competitive. Like, he's going to have to give him max dollars.
Because he's getting paid if he goes free agent.
Yeah, he's averaging 25. I mean, this guy's the sole reason why the Charlotte Hornets are relevant and at the seventh seed. And to their defense, they played some pretty solid teams. They beat the Sixers. Or did they beat the Sixers?
They haven't beat the Sixers.
They haven't beaten the Sixers, but they were very close.
They were close the one time, and the second time they had a reasonable game.
Yeah, they had a reasonable game. They beat the Celtics. I know that for a fact when Kemba took off. This team, hey, you know, they could give a team a run for their money in the first round of the playoffs. You know, I'm not saying they'd beat, a two seed or a three seed if they were a six or a seven or even an eight. But I think they – you know, Kemba Walker could definitely win them two games in a playoff series.
Oh, easy. Because, I mean, he's 28. And I'm telling you, he comes out, if he doesn't want to stay with the Hornets, he's going to get big money
in
free agency.
He's got to stay with the Hornets if the Hornets want to be
competitive. They'll drop dead to the bottom because Malik Monk is their youngest guy. I mean, he can play a little bit, but he's not
Kemba Walker
by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, this guy is got to be a top five point guard in the NBA right now. And
he's a top five player in the NBA with these numbers.
Yeah. I mean, at the moment, yeah.
He's averaging three out of their top five stats.
Yeah, he is.
He's the leading scorer, assister, and leads them in steals.
Yeah, this guy is a big-time player, and he's the whole reason the Charlotte Hornets are even relevant.
Because I feel bad for him because he's just surrounded by first-round busts.
Michael
Kidd-Gilchrist is one-dimensional as it gets.
Cody Zeller.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's surrounded by a bunch of top 15 picks.
I mean, Tony Parker's giving him 9.9.
Yeah, and he's 37.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Vic Batum, you know, Marvin, my boy
Marvin. Jeremy Lamb's been good. I give credit to Jeremy Lamb.
Hey,
he's been fine.
Yeah, he's
but,
averaging 50.
You know, Kemba's a one-man show out there.
Yeah, and they're 14 and 15 and first in their division.
Yeah, so, you know, I give a lot of credit for the way they're playing. But, my goodness, has Kemba Walker had a year, and he is looking for big money in this contract year of his.
What was that?
So,
okay.
Sorry. Just one other quick team that's been surprising, for at least to me, is the Clippers. I know they've fallen off a little bit. But this team, up until what, mid this month, was the best team in the West.
Yeah.
They were top of the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And
yep.
From a team you never thought would be any good, I thought that they were done. The big three was that era was over, and then the Clippers were starting at zero back before they drafted Blake Griffin, because Blake Griffin was gone. DeAndre had just signed with the Mavs, and Chris Paul was gone. So I thought that the Clippers were done and dusted, and they proved everyone wrong. I know, once again, they struggled. They've lost a bunch in a row.
They
and four out of their last five. But up until that point, they were playing big-time basketball.
I think they were the first in the Western Conference.
Yeah, up until for a long period of time.
Yeah, at one point, yeah. And
it didn't mean they're up to there, but it's from, like, players you wouldn't expect. Tobias Harris and Danilo Gallinari are the big guys on that team.
And Montrezl Harrell, and you still got my boy Sweet Lou. And, hey. You got to give credit to what Doc Rivers has done. I'm not a big fan of Doc Rivers, but he's done a great job with this Clippers team. They were going to be terrible. And you know who else is actually – their draft pick, Alexander, has actually played
pretty well. Gilgeous Alexander.
Yeah. He's played well as well. And, you know, you got to give credit to this Clippers team. They've beaten some good teams. They've competed hard. They play hard. Montrezl Harrell is a guy that just brings it. He doesn't allow, you know, easy layups. He can get you 20, you know, some games. You mentioned Tobias Harris, what he's done. This L.A. Clippers team, man, like, I'm impressed. I know you said, you know, the four out of five losses, but I've been impressed with the L.A. Clippers.
I mean, you look at a guy like Harris, he's averaging 21 a night, and that's huge numbers for him. And it's just been an awesome year by the Clippers, because, like I said, I mean, I thought they were done. I thought that this was it for them. But they got Tobias Harris averaging his best year as a player, and then Danilo Gallinari at 30 is having his basically second-best year of his career.
Yeah, hey, this Clippers team, I'm impressed. I can really say that, and they're a bunch of role guys. You know, I think what you say, Lou Williams is probably their best player. You know,
and he's as tough as you'll find him.
Yeah, and like they just got the right guys around, you know, in that locker room. That's getting the job done.
And
right?
They're trying to make everyone remember that they're the second team in L.A.
Hey,
that doesn't have LeBron James on it.
What we've heard from them is, you know, maybe getting Kawhi and Kevin Durant to team up in L.A. for the Clippers.
Hey, man, they have the market for it.
Yeah.
That's L.A.
It's L.A.
Still, it's still L.A.
You know?
Even though it's not the storied Lakers, the Clippers, you know, they more are more than ready to sign a star.
Yeah, and yeah.
They're big time.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm really happy for them, because they're just another – I like to see that two teams had originally lined up, one and two were Clippers and Nuggets. And those are the two teams I really like, gritty, tough. And that's just what you like to see.
Yeah, and like you mentioned Gallinari, to Harris, you know, Patrick Beverley came back.
Another tough guy you're talking about.
Avery Bradley.
Tough as nails point guard.
Avery Bradley. These guys were big-time role players for their previous teams. Beverley, when he was in Houston, was a big-time lockdown defender. Avery Bradley was a big-time player for the Celtics before he got traded. You know, Harrell, you know, these guys are good players. And, you know, they're winning games. I think that'll slow down, though, coming up.
So we have to talk about it, because probably the biggest media craze in this country is probably the Los Angeles Lakers. And, just what you think. They're up to fourth in the Western Conference, but I'm still not buying it. They gave up way too many points for me personally. I mean, they get crushed on defense. I mean, they have lost some games by major numbers.
Yeah.
But they've come up and they've won a couple of games, but I mean – still against teams they should probably beat. They've gotten smoked.
This Lakers team, it's the LeBron James show. And they got some role players. Lonzo, obviously. Kyle Kuzma has been big for them. He's averaging 18. LeBron obviously averaging close to 28 points a game. 7 boards, 7 assists. He's elite. We all know that. And he's the reason the L.A. Lakers are in fourth now. And they started slow though, you know. But ever since, you know, they started playing together with, you know, each other, you know, a little bit, they've gotten their crap together and they've been starting to win games. JaVale McGee is somebody who's giving you 12 points a game. JaVale McGee, 12 points a game for the Los Angeles Lakers. Hey, I mean, they're going to continue to get better. They're young. They got some young players around LeBron. Don't be surprised if Brandon Ingram isn't in a different uniform by the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, he's got skill.
He's got 15.2, but, you know, does he fit LeBron's game?
I don't think so. I think he'd be better off playing a little somewhere different.
I agree. You know, Caldwell Pope.
He had 25 last game.
He's probably going to get traded.
No, he's gone. He's absolutely gone.
Yeah, he's gone. And, you know, Josh Hart has nine, you know, the Villanova native. So,
when you look at
Rondo, and playoff Rondo is a thing now. Playoff Rondo, that he's a beast.
Yeah, and we just look at it because it's like.
And Lance.
The beginning of this month was the one that concerns me because, like, LeBron had 13 last night. I'm not trying to say LeBron's slowing down or anything, trust me. But, I mean, they've lost some tough games. Like, at home, they got saved.
Yeah.
Because LeBron James missed a free throw, which he does way too often, I think, personally. I mean, man missed a lot of free throws.
He's got to shoot better.
Yeah, especially in crunch time. Remember the Sixers fouled him from three when they were up three last year, and he missed one.
Yeah, he did.
And it cost him the ball game.
Yes.
And luckily, this time he got saved. Someone got the offensive rebound, kicked it to him, and he two-handed jammed it in someone's face. But it concerns me.
Yeah.
Him late in games at the line.
Well, they got to get hot, I think. He's got to start, you know, making some free throws down the stretch. I mean, if he's going to miss those, you're going to really give yourself no chance. And I watched the end of that Hawks game at the beginning of the year, you know, where he gets to the line, misses a free throw, and then, like, magically, you know, gets a rebound and dunks it, and then Tyson Chandler blocks it for the win on Trae Young. That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was the beginning of November. That's the game I was talking about. If this guy's the best player ever, he's going to make free throws in clutch moments, and there's been a lot of moments that he's missing.
I think he is. I think he's, you know, really, really, really a good player. He's the best player in the world. And, you know, I think the Los Angeles Lakers will just continue to get better as the season goes along.
So now we go back to the Sixers because we got some big, big basketball games that are coming up this week. For starters, we start tonight. They play the Spurs on the road.
Got to be a win.
This is tough because the Spurs aren't that bad.
No,
they're not that bad. They've struggled. I'm not going to lie. You can't deny that they have struggled. They lost to the Bulls on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
When Chris Dunn lit them up.
Yeah, Chris Dunn.
But I mean, this team can put up big numbers at home. They beat the Clippers by 40.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a tight game, and even what we're looking at,
the
it's almost 50-50.
Yeah, the matchup predictor's 50-50. It's kind of giving the edge to the Spurs.
So this is a tough game, you know, at home. The Spurs team still has contributors on it. Rudy Gay is not a pushover. He's still got some game in him. Aldridge, even, as long as it's not the playoffs, Aldridge is good. And then got DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan
is still there.
Aldridge.
And our good friend Marco Ballinelli.
Well, hey, what if he would have a big game tonight? Expect him, you know, to have a big game tonight.
Because they wouldn't pay him the money.
No.
And so.
And it's kind of backfiring on us a little bit.
Yeah. And Patty Mills, this team is full of role-playing. I'm going to tell you one thing. This team is going to keep moving when the bench is in. As this team subs in and out, they will continue to put points on the board. And that's what concerns me as a Sixer fan.
Yeah, who's going to step up in the second unit?
For the Sixers, because they're going to need it. Because I'm telling you, there is always somebody on the floor that can score for the Spurs at all times.
Exactly. And you mentioned Mills. You mentioned Belly. Rudy Gay. You know, these guys can score the basketball. And off the bench, if we got Simmons, Embiid, and Butler out of the game, and the Spurs have their second unit in versus ours, I'm going Spurs all the way. And that could kill us. If they go on a little run there, the Spurs could take a lead here and beat us. But I think the Sixers, they got to substitute, you know, they got to have one of those three guys on the floor at all times, I think. And this is going to be a tough game in San Antonio. They're 15-15, 11-5 at home. We got to get this one, though. You got
to
get
it. Absolutely, because, I mean, it's tough to call because you'd like to say Sixers, but the Sixers at Western Conference on the road, can they do it? I hope that they can.
On a back-to-back.
You know, it's a tough one.
At Cleveland, so they're going to have to step it up and, you know, expect Jimmy Butler to break out in this game, have a big game.
On Wednesday, they'll get a day off and they'll play on Wednesday against the Knicks. There's no excuse for anything besides a W in the win column here. The Knicks have been really bad all year. Emmanuel Mudiay had that one really good game recently. I can't remember who it was against, but, I mean, this team
is bad.
I mean, you point out there's guys there that are okay.
Tanner,
Hardaway, Mudiay, Knox, the draft pick.
Yeah, he's
and coach. A bunch of other busts like Bonway and guys like that.
Nikita. Is he still on the team?
Frank Nitakalina, whatever his name is.
Yeah, is he still on the team?
Yeah, pretty much a bunch of.
Got to beat the Knicks at home.
I mean, I'm trying to give you a reason to be worried, but I can't. Because you got to beat the Knicks at home.
Well, especially if they would lose this game in San Antonio. That you'd have to think that they'd come to New York, or no, the game's in Philly.
Yeah, but I mean, they're barely favored against the Suns tonight.
Yeah, that's my point. Like, you gotta beat the Knicks.
And they're coming in off the back to back.
Yeah, so, there's no excuse.
They're not, sorry. But either way, it doesn't matter because the Knicks are bad. They're one of the worst teams in the league this year. And without Porzingis, this team is all over the place.
Exactly. It's got to be a win. It's the New York Knicks. They haven't been good in years.
And we blew them out already in their building this year.
Yeah.
Pretty much the biggest game they played at home this year is on Saturday. Yeah. I'm expecting sellout crowd this Saturday against the Raptors at home.
This
is the first one.
Yeah.
The first big game the Sixers have played at home besides that Pacers one on Friday.
Yeah, they lost that one.
And they lost
the Pacers
one.
Are playing good basketball.
Yeah, but you haven't played the Celtics at home yet,
Bucks.
And you haven't played the Bucks at home yet.
Yeah,
this is the one right here.
This is the one.
This is where you show why we're 14-3 at home.
You got to
play these guys tight.
Got to beat them. You know, you got to give me something to think here because you already lost both games. Easy. With Butler, where Butler went off and beat Stump.
Yeah, rough. That was after he made that comment about struggling, which we'll get into in a minute.
But you gotta show me something here. Can you win a game at home against a superior team in the East, the number one seed in the Toronto Raptors, who have beaten the Golden State Warriors without Kawhi on the road? You got to come in to that game Saturday with one mentality. That's physical. That's physical. You got to play. You can't let Pascal Siakam and Serge Ibaka dominate down low. And I'm looking at Joel Embiid, and I got to say, you got to step up in this game.
It seems like he just struggles against
physical
bigs.
Yep.
Like the two guys that I'd say the most that he struggles with the most are Aaron Baines and Jonas Valanciunas.
Aaron Baines, Horford. Malanchunas,
the bruiser, big man. He seems to have problems with.
I think he's got to work on the back of the basket thing. This is a must-win game. It is. Like, I know it's early in the season, but you got to show the city or fans of basketball that something here, and you got to win a tough game at home against the Raptors.
So that's this week's preview. We're going to get into that. One last thing that I thought of was the talking about Joel Embiid. And I didn't want to hear any of this because I knew what he was talking about when he said he's struggling to adapt to his role since Butler's been here. And everyone's like, Joel Embiid doesn't like the Jimmy Butler trade.
No.
False.
No.
That is false. You know what the hard part is about him?
He makes the team significantly better.
Yes. Ben Simmons has one play, get to the hoop. That's how he scores.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler likes to get to the hoop. Obviously, he has range all the way out.
Jimmy Butler can't do is really, like get a – he's not a catch-and-shoot shooter.
No, he's not. He makes his own shot. He's a shot creator.
Yeah.
But he likes to get to the basket too. That's where he likes to go. So evidently that forces Joel Embiid out on the perimeter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it since Butler was hurt for a little bit. Embiid was putting up some big numbers.
Yeah.
And so that's what he means by that. He's struggling to adapt to the fact that he's not inside of 10 feet the entire game. He's being forced to shoot that three, which I don't like him shooting.
Yeah.
He's forced to use that back to the basket. You know, he wants to be underneath where he can get physical, hit that turnaround jumper, and make that post move, hit that layup.
But, like, it's kind of his fault for being on the perimeter.
No, but
stop being lazy and getting in the post.
But if that's Brett Brown's game plan.
Yeah, that's
because if he wants, because once again, when you have three guys that are must get to the basket to score points, I mean, you can't just have Joel Embiid sitting in the paint the whole game. You got to clear it out for Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And hey, he's going to adapt. He's going to, you know, get used to it. You know, you got three all-stars on this team. You know, there's one basketball. Okay. Move without it. Get easy baskets. And play some defense, for God's sake.
Please.
Play some D.
So I just wanted to address that because that was a garbage statement because everyone outside of Philadelphia was like, Joel Embiid doesn't like the trade, loves the trade.
No.
Team turns this team from playoffs to needs to be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, that's the thing. When Jimmy Butler came here, it made the Sixers just a playoff team in the East to a – legitimate contender. Now, you might say they're on the outside looking in as far as, like, a contender, but at least you can say it. Got Jimmy Butler on this team. This team was a 3 seed last year with the same group of guys pretty much, minus Ersan and Belly. So
plus Chandler and Muscala to replace
who have been not as good as them. Absolutely. You know, but hey, Embiid likes this trade. He's trying to adapt. He's trying to, you know, share the wealth. You know, they played great against, you know, the Cavaliers. I know it's granted it's the Cavaliers. And we're going to find out, like I said earlier in the show, what this team is made of over the next, what would you say, 3 weeks?
Yeah, pretty much.
So, you know, let's go. It's time to roll.
And then the last two things I want to address real quick as we get ready to finish up is the first thing would be, should you be worried if you're a Golden State fan? No. They got hurt.
Nope.
Steph Curry is hurt. DeMarcus Cousins is hurt. These guys are still the favorites by far.
No.
I know they're 20-10.
No.
People are like, oh, man, they only played 30 games. And they lost as many as they did
when they had that
record-setting year.
They're fine.
They're fine. Don't worry. Steph Curry's hurt. He'll be back soon.
He did come back.
Or is he back already? Fine.
Yeah, he came
and
back.
And DeMarcus Cousins will be back in a couple months.
Yeah, well, when he comes back, you got an issue down low.
Oh, yeah, you do.
You got
because
three.
It's
I mean,
not,
you know,
it's
well,
not.
Obviously, here's the reason they've started slow. Remember the saga early in the season with, you know, Draymond Green?
Oh, yeah, and
Durant.
Yeah.
That had something to do with it. You know, they're over that now. And, you know, we'll have to see how this team goes moving forward. They're going to be A-okay.
But still don't discount that fact that the Raptors beat them without Kawhi by 20.
Yeah, and listen, I think you got to consider, like I said earlier, you got to consider this Raptors team a contender now because you got Kawhi Leonard. This guy is way better than DeMar DeRozan. So
he's better than the guy he was when he got hurt.
Yeah.
When Pachulia hurt him in that corner threat.
Exactly. And I think he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. And I think he likes playing in Toronto.
I think he does too. I think, you know, and I mean, we'll see what ends up happening next year when he's got his contract is up. But either way. And then the final thing is I want to quickly talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. Too bad. I think that the Grizzlies have been physical with teams. And once again, Conley has picked it up. He was hurt for a good portion of last year. Gasol's playing good like you'd expect him to. And then the addition of the rookie, Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah, he's been great. Jaren Jackson Jr., he's athletic, and he's showed up. And we were crapping on this team last year, remember?
The worst team in the league.
Worst team in the league. You know, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol are playing motivated. And, you know, it's great to see. And the Grizzlies, good for them. They're back where they were. They're a little bit better. They got Jaren Jackson now. Memphis, you know, I remember, you know, a few years ago they were a competitive team in the Western Conference every year. So good for them.
Well, that will do it here for this episode.
Hold on,
stop. Sorry, we have a call.
We got a call.
Hey, guys.
You're on the Brothers MC podcast.
Hey, guys, this is Tom just calling in. Sounds like you guys were wrapping up, so not sure if you're still able to chat, but I was literally just tuning in, so I'm not even sure what you guys are talking about. Just going to dive in.
Okay. Yeah, we were just talking about the Memphis Grizzlies a little bit ago and how they've improved Mike Conley and, you know, and how, you know, they've improved from being one of the worst teams in the league last year. So, you know, if you have a thought on that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's not a surprise that they've bounced back a bit. I'm surprised that they've been able to do it consistently. But, I mean, the Grizzlies are always about as good as they're going to be with health, right? I mean, like, Conley's probably one of the more underrated players in the entire league. And I think the reality with him is that if he wasn't attached to such an absolutely horrendous contract, he'd probably be the trade. He would have been the trade target of a few more teams. I think Conley, the problem with him is he's kind of he's a prime example of what's wrong with the CBA right now, in the sense that I think that they put these kind of super max type contracts to try and keep players in cities, but all it's really done is make these small market teams overpay someone like Conley, who at, you know, 25, maybe at 22, 23, 24 million a year is a fantastic player. At the $35 million mark, I think that they're having to pay him. He doesn't make a lot of sense. I think Jaren Jackson has been amazing, right? I mean, I think
we've been talking about him.
Luka Doncic is getting so much of the hype that I think people haven't even paid attention. Jackson, who I think undoubtedly would be the number two pick in this actual draft now. And I think maybe if you're extrapolating beyond this particular season, I think there's a chance Luka is what he is. And there's a chance that in 5 years, you're looking at Jackson being the best player from this draft. I'm a Luka fan. I think he's amazing, but I think if you can kind of see that happening. And then, I mean, I don't necessarily expect them to be there at the end of the year because they're just a team that's always teetering on the brink of disaster. I mean, like, you're talking any one of those three guys, but especially Conley, who gets injured a lot. Like, if any of them miss any amount of time, they're in the tank. I mean, they have rotation players like Marshawn Brooks, who, like, should not be in the NBA. So I think they're a little bit of smoke and mirrors because their 4 through 10 players, I think, are really below average. But their top three players are maybe three of the most underrated players in the entire league right now. And so we'll see.
Yeah. Thank you for your call. And, you know, you just called us here towards the end of our show. And, you know, thanks for the call. And, you know, the Grizzlies are going to, you know, we'll see where they end up. They're going to be a middle-of-the-pack team. Could, you know, make a run at these teams in the higher level. We'll have to see, though. But appreciate the call.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
And that'll do it here for the Brothers MC podcast. Thank you from Mark McClure, Matthew McClure. We just got this, back on the road. So thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter and, like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.